Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. It's Monday, May 13th, 2019. I'm Dan Scheer, editor of the Green Valley News and the Sahuarita Sun, sitting in for Bill, who is vacationing in the Caribbean, however you want to say it. As always, he's posted some great shots and a couple of fun stories on his Facebook page. So don't overlook the story about the 20-minute plane flight from Antigua to Montserrat. It's really funny. Bill's always up for an adventure, and he's always goes to some great places, and he shares it with us. I love that about his vacation time. I also love being able to spend some time with you. The show comes live Monday through Friday, noon to 1 p.m. on 10:30 a.m. The Voice, or you can catch the live stream or access all the archives at buckmastershow.com. We start the week off talking to our political experts during the Monday political face-off, and we are never at a loss about something to talk about. Today, we are going to welcome Bruce Ash and Don Jorgensen. After the break at 12:30, we're going to be talking to Tom Murphy. He is the mayor of Sahuarita, down where I live, and we're looking forward to that. As always, you are invited to join the discussion. Call us on the Buckmaster Show live line at 790-2040. Call in anytime. The Monday Political Face-Off is presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. They've been around since 1985, specializing in custom-framed mirrors, art, picture framing, hanging services, and systems. They have everything, and they have a great reputation for getting it just right. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. And, of course, you can find them on Facebook. We are joined now by Bruce Ash, who's GOP National Committeeman from Arizona. Welcome, Bruce.
Thanks. Great to have you here.
Okay. And Don Jorgensen, former chair of the Pima County Democratic Party. Don, how are you?
Great. Good to see you again, Dan.
Okay. Hope you guys had a great weekend, and I trust you made Mother's Day special for the ladies in your life. Bruce?
We had a great time yesterday with our son, his wife, and their family, watching our little 2.5-year-old do slip and slide out in the backyard. It was a scream. And FaceTime with our son in D.C. with his wife and kiddo. And it was a great weekend. And, you know, this is a time when I really do remember my mom and my mother-in-law, who aren't with us anymore. And it just, you know, we wouldn't be who we are without our moms, obviously, but all of these moms mean so much in our lives. It's just it's a great way to think about mom, but we should be thinking about them every day of the year.
Absolutely, not just on this made-up holiday. Don, how was your weekend?
It was wonderful. Mother's Day, we spent had breakfast with some friends of ours who were all close. We all watched our wives raise our kids, so we celebrated all the mothers there, and got to spend a lot of time on the phone with our daughter, who is a first-time mother-to-be this year.
Great.
So,
all right. Well, we count that as a mother already then. So good for her. Dick Tomey, former coach at the University of Arizona football team, died Friday at age 80. He was the winningest football coach in University of Arizona history. He left here in 2000, yet such an impact. What an outpouring. I know Steve Rivera is most certainly going to be talking about that in his show at 5 o'clock this afternoon. But any thoughts on that, Dick Tomey?
You know, he was a tough guy. At least that was the image. I sat in back of Coach Tomey and his wife watching Field of Dreams when it first came out. And I was there with our two sons and wife, and he started crying. That part when, you know, at the end of the movie, you know, where the dad and Kevin Costner have the catch.
Yep.
Well, when he started crying, I started crying, and I was heaving and sobbing, and he was heaving and sobbing. We both got up, and we, you know, at the end of the movie, we're like wiping our tears so that nobody would see us. He really was quite an extraordinary man, and you know, there is something to be said about winning and losing. He won a lot more than he lost, but those people who were around him and who were part of his teams, players, coaches, fans, he really did have a great impact on them and on all of us. And he's somebody that we're going to miss for a long time.
You know, and I heard it said one time about someone else, and it couldn't be more true of Dick Tomey, that he, you mentioned he was the winningest football coach in Arizona history, but the fact is he always cared more about the players than the game. And that's what set him apart. And as we as we also have been reminded of, I think he's the only coach, certainly in U of A history, I don't know about other schools, that ever won the U of A Provost Award for being the best teacher. That's unheard of.
I didn't know that.
But that, yeah, that's Dick Tomey. And what a great man, great coach, great representative of our community as well. And he will.
And
be
he
missed.
Came back to Tucson after leaving and coaching elsewhere, and did a pretty nice job coaching elsewhere. But he came back to Tucson, and I was really happy about that. And we're gonna miss him.
Well, longtime sports columnist Corky Simpson writes for the Green Valley News and the Sabarita Sun, and he wrote something over the weekend that I posted online. This guy took the Wildcats to 7 bowl games, and he was a great coach, Corky points out, but he was, as you have pointed out, an even better man. So Dick Tomey died Friday at age 80, and Tucson is remembering him. So, well, let's get into... I guess a little dicier type of stuff. First of all, I want to turn our attention to Venezuela for a moment. Juan Guaido, who's the U.S. recognizes as the president of Venezuela, he unsuccessfully in recent weeks tried to get the people to rise up and have the military turn on the leader, Nicolas Maduro. Now Guaido is apparently going to seek military cooperation of some sort with the United States. How far, Don, is too far for the United States to get involved in these types of situations? What's appropriate?
Well, without question, military intervention is too far. We can't say one thing about other countries intervening in issues like this or situations like this around the world and then do it ourselves. It's part of the Americas. The problem is always a challenging one, obviously. We've recognized the opposition leader, but he has no power. At this point, the attempt at a military coup a week or so ago failed. And in that process, in fact, the administration here in the U.S. put some opposition leaders at risk by disclosing their names. And now a lot of them are on the run. Many of them are in embassies hiding out from Maduro and his henchmen and his death squads, if you will. So the challenge is to go as far as we can with sanctions, but it has to be, as always, a multinational approach. We should be looking at how much assistance you can get from the neighbors there, Colombia and Brazil. What are they willing to do? What other pressures can be brought to bear on Venezuela? But there's no easy answer. You have the people and even Guaido calling for the U.S. to tone down the blockades because it's hurting the people, not getting them the food, not getting them the medicine. But on the other hand, you either do nothing, you impose some sort of sanctions, or military. Military is too far. So the challenge for the U.S. is one that the Trump administration always seems to have trouble with, and that's rallying allies to have more of a multinational approach to getting Maduro out of office.
Bruce Ash, we are a leader in the world, obviously, but is this something that the United States should take the lead on?
Well, yeah, I think we should, but it's a question of, what the proper response is. As Don's mentioned, the president, as he campaigned, and also in some of the actions he's taken so far, has always tried to stay away from direct military confrontation. Ironically, we face really two issues right now, the one here in Venezuela and then, the Iranian military and their political leaders, potentially targeting U.S. assets in that area of the world as well. There's plenty of things that the United States can do short of military activities. Probably as big an issue as any in this whole Venezuelan business, Dan and Don, has to be that the PRC and the Russians are so actively involved in what's going on, propping up that dictatorship. And that does sort of raise the stakes. But if the constitutionally elected leader can't muster the support, and if the neighboring states who certainly have a direct stake in what happens or doesn't happen in Venezuela don't step up, there really shouldn't be any reason for the United States to become directly involved. But having said that, there are plenty of things we can do from the standpoint of special operations to muck up things for that dictatorship. And, you know, one of them would be to freeze the Federal Reserve mm-hmm. access. I mean, right. that is a very quick way to get anybody's attention in situations like this. But I would say that so far we've been cautious. You know, we've sort of rattled the saber, but we're reluctant to take that further action.
Okay, you are listening to the Buckmaster Show, and this is the Monday Political Face-Off. We're with Don Jorgensen and Bruce Ash. I'm Dan Scheer, sitting in for Bill Buckmaster, who's on vacation. Before we take a break, I want to take you back to Friday's show, where Dan Gibson was guest host, and he mentioned that a trip to Mona's Danish Bakery would be a wonderful Mother's Day treat. And I took Dan's advice, headed over there on Saturday, and it is everything that Bill says it is. He touts the Danish Kringle, but I'm going to tell you about the apple pie. I bought the entire pie, shared it with some friends and my lovely wife, Carol, on Sunday, and I'm telling you, you can't beat it. The price, the taste, the presentation, everything. Mona's Danish Bakery is a treat. Mona's is on the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Go to buckmastershow.com for a link to Mona's Danish Bakery, and of course, you can find them on Facebook. We will be right back.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. The Regional Transportation Authority has a 35-member Citizens Advisory Committee working to identify transportation priorities for the region and will be seeking public input on those priorities before too long. These priorities will help guide development of an RTA continuation plan. The current RTA plan and half-cent excise tax will continue through June 2026. To learn more, please visit rtamobility.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. I'm passionate about travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. And when I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With 9 airlines flying nonstop to 22 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient with competitive airfares, and there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com.
Hey, it's Matt Russell from The Buckmaster Show.
And this is Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
I am so pumped to be partnering with Bon Voyage on my next culinary and cocktail cruise.
This is definitely a cruise for foodies as you experience the Mediterranean on Celebrity Cruises.
And the private excursions that your team has arranged for us? I mean, come on, an ouzo distillery tour in Greece? A food and wine day on Malta?
We'll handle everything, so all you and your guests need to do is eat, drink, and be happy.
Go to bvtravel.com/Matt Russell to learn more.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
Welcome back to the Monday Political Face-Off, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge at moesgallery.com. And, of course, you can find them on Facebook. I'm Dan Scheer, editor of the Green Valley News and the Sahuarita Sun, sitting in for a vacationing Bill Buckmaster, who's posting an awful lot of gorgeous photos on his Facebook page. So check those out and the stories. You have joined us in the middle of the Monday Political Face-Off. We're with Don Jorgensen and Bruce Ash. Don, why is it important for the American people, or at least Congress, to see President Trump's financial records?
Well, where do you start? We know he's the first president in over 40 years to refuse to release his tax records. His chief of staff said he doesn't want to be embarrassed about them, so the question has to be asked, what's there to be embarrassed about? But the real question is to find out whether we have a president who has past and present ongoing conflicts of interest. They have disclosed financial statements, but that only tells you what someone has. It doesn't tell you how they got it, the money, the property, whatever else they have. And so the question is, who has he been in business with? Who's he in business with? We know he's had past a history of dealings with the Russians, financial dealings, perhaps with Saudi Arabia too. And what's happening in the present? We know there's been enough questions about his past with regard to his foundation, his university, the institute, the campaign. All of these leave a lot of black marks and a lot of question marks on what the impact of his financial history and activity is on current decision making and the potential conflict of interest, let alone any potential fraud. And when it comes to dealing with the man of 10,000 lies, America needs to know the truth.
Bruce, are you buying that?
Not much.
Okay.
Look, this is all going to backfire. Everybody in America is sick of this business. Congress has been working for the last 2.5 years, hasn't accomplished nearly what they should have accomplished, and a lot of it is because they've been obsessed on this. You know, for a long time, I thought to myself, you know, hey, let people get distracted over here while the president is making a lot of very fundamental positive changes to how this country does business. But this has got to the point, and let's not forget, this has been an effort to take down the president, a lawfully, legally elected president of the United States since the very beginning of his term, and really even before his term. And frankly, what we ought to be investigating are some of the factors behind how we got to this collusion and all of the Russia stuff that was going on, which was really, I think, one of the great hoaxes of political history, recent political history in this country.
But isn't it legitimate to ask what potential conflicts of interest might exist?
Well, there are plenty of ways to do it other than getting his tax returns or his financial statements. And the New York Times has 8 years worth of tax returns right now. So what difference does it make?
Makes a lot of difference when that goes back. I don't mean to interrupt, but that goes back 25 years.
Right.
And again, exposes someone who was untruthful during that time as well as the president.
Do we really want to go down that route? Okay. Do we really want to know what the Democrats say they want to find out? Because if we do, there's a lot of people in politics who are going to be tremendously exposed. At the end of the day, this is going to go nowhere, except that it's going to aggravate a bunch of people. And if the Democrats want to take the risk of losing the next election because they managed to keep everybody focused on this business for 4 years, let them go ahead and do it.
Hey, I'm the news guy. I'm all for exposing everybody. We have Paul on the line. Paul, you have a question?
Yes, I do. First of all, I don't think it's a requirement for Trump to show his tax returns. If so, then we should have every congressman, particularly these Democrats, show how they became multimillionaires on a $100,000 salary while they were in Congress for 15 or 20 years.
Well, Paul, are you concerned about potential conflicts of interest?
Listen, I work with a real estate agent in Connecticut. A good agent could go through the records and public records in New York City and find out all the details about Trump. It would be a very, very simple thing to do for anyone who has some knowledge, that is knowledge other than how to be a good politician.
Okay, thank you, Paul. Don, sounds like Paul thinks you're going down the wrong path, that maybe, yeah, we need information, but this isn't the right way to do it.
Well, since President Trump has refused to provide information that's been requested any other way, it's necessary. It's become necessary. And Paul mentioned that there's no requirement for a president. No, there isn't. But there is a requirement now, since Congress did ask the Treasury Department and the IRS to provide the copy of the president's tax returns, and they refused, which
there's
is
no
an illegal
requirement.
Action.
Right. There's no legal requirement. And frankly, some of the activities taken, particularly by New York State, to limit one's ability to run for the presidency are clearly unconstitutional. Submitting one's financial statements and their tax returns is not a qualifying or disqualifying matter, and the courts will probably need to rule on this. This is really the sort of the road that this country doesn't want to go down, because once you do, and Dan, I appreciate where you're coming from with respect to sunlight being the best disinfectant. But this is a road that I think is a very, very painful one, and one that is going to be filled with lots of problems for most of these elected officials.
Well, the question is painful for whom? And this is one of the fundamental differences. The Democrats want full transparency, whether it comes to go to the other subject since you brought up collusion, whether it comes to a fully released Mueller report or the president's tax returns, and even if it's all of Congress's tax returns, as the caller Paul mentioned. Democrats support transparency, Republicans don't.
Okay. 95% or more of the Mueller report has been disclosed, and actually the entire Mueller report has now been made available to leaders in both houses of Congress, actually with note-making ability, except for those provisions, those areas of the report that specifically have to do with ongoing investigation and sources and methods. And Mr. Nadler knows exactly what the law is, and notwithstanding that, he wants to make a big deal out of this, and nothing's going to come of it.
Well, to bring everyone up to date, Nadler said he was willing to negotiate further with Bill Barr, who has ignored him.
Okay. Hey, Don, the national debt is $22 trillion. I believe this year is the first time it's ever gone over that. When are we going to start talking about things like this, which granted are boring, but they're important, instead of the president's financial records?
Well, it is important, and we're going to talk about it when the candidates are able to put it into terms that affect Americans and taxpayers, so where voters understand why it matters. We know that it's gone up $2 trillion after Trump's tax scam or tax plan, however you want to call it. But everyday voters don't understand what that means. They won't understand it until it's put in plain terms, and they understand that an ongoing increasing debt affects long-term interest rates. Interest rates go up. Stock market is affected negatively, so that hurts investors. But for everyday Americans, what those rising rates mean, that mortgages will become more expensive, interest rates will go up there, and student loans become more expensive. That's the impact of a rising debt, because more U.S. money is going toward paying down that debt.
Meanwhile, Dan, for the 8 years that President Obama was in the White House and the debt doubled under his administration, there was hardly a Democrat who wanted to seriously take any of this matter up. I think there's probably as many Republicans as Democrats who are upset about the rate of spending. But at the same time, tax revenues have grown significantly, and they've grown mainly from wealthier Americans who aren't paying a higher percentage tax necessarily, but are paying greater tax revenues because of profits and increased income that they've had in a supercharged economy. More people than ever before starting new businesses, expanding businesses, more people working and less people unemployed than any time in the last half a century in this country. And Don can disparage all he wants, calling it the tax scheme and not a tax plan. And I realize that's kind of cute and funny to talk about it in those terms. But talk to anybody who is making more money, anybody who does have a job, anybody who does feel that there's greater optimism and opportunity in this country, and they'll tell you this is a pretty good thing that Congress passed. One of the few things that I think we can point to in the last 2+ years that has really made a tremendous difference
in this
country. And
yet there are still millions of middle-class Americans who are not feeling that. The debt has gone up. And yes, it went up under Obama because there were different circumstances. He was having to pull the nation out of a Republican-caused recession.
It doubled even during George Bush's period of time. And you know, I'm not one of these guys who gets hung up on a balanced budget amendment. But, you know, you see what happens in states where there are requirements for balanced budgets. You know, as long as we continue to do the sort of unchecked spending, we're never going to get to the end of the road.
And yet again, the reminder again, under Democratic presidents, the economy has done better.
Okay, Don Jorgensen and Bruce Ash, and you have been joining us on the Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. My thanks to Don and Bruce. We hope you both have a great week. When we return, we are going to be joined by Sahuarita Mayor Tom Murphy to talk about some notable happenings down south. We'll be right back.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Every day, your safety and freedom is protected by the service and sacrifice of our first responders and military. Please join us in this community effort to build the Southern Arizona Veterans and First Responders Living Memorial, a place to celebrate those who have paid the price for our freedom and those who continue to defend it today. Help create a space where these memories, past, present, and future, will live forever. Learn more and donate by visiting vfrm.org.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Let's say you need an honest roofer. Where do you start? Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona has more than 3,200 accredited businesses ready to help and committed to doing things right. Next time you need a trusted mechanic, plumber, AC company, or florist, go to our website, bbb.org, or call us at 520-888-6161. Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We are here to help you find local companies you can trust.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. I'm Dan Scheer, sitting in for Bill, who's in the Caribbean with his wife, Anne, and enjoying that. And like we said, they've been posting a lot of wonderful photos of just everything, plane flights and ocean and sand and food, and it's been great. So this portion of the Buckmaster Show is presented by Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, just 3 hours east of Tucson. So much to do in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, like exploring the historic downtown Silver City or visiting the world-famous Cliff Dwellings National Monument. For a complete list of many things to do, great places to stay, visit southwestnewmexico.org. I also want to mention Green Things, because everybody's thinking about gardening this time of year. Since 1970, Green Things has been the go-to place for your gardening needs. Now, Green Things on their 13-acre site is home to Socalo Village and all those fine Mexican and Latin American imports. Green Things on River Road, just west of Brandy Fenton Park, and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. We're now welcoming Tom Murphy. He is the mayor of Sahuarita, the place I've called home for the last 10 years. 10 years, Tom.
It goes by. I've been down there 15 years.
15.
And I can't even believe it.
And I've seen so many changes. And I know the 5 years before I arrived, it had really changed.
Yes.
And I will tell you this, at the risk of sounding like a cheerleader for the town, absolutely heading in the right direction. We absolutely love living there.
Well,
wouldn't think of going
that.
Anywhere else. And the council has, if I can use this term, matured over the last 10 years as it becomes more accustomed to taking on the reins of running a town.
Yes. No, I would concur. And really, in the early days, it was really known as a great residential town. But obviously, you know, working with myself and the previous mayor, Dwayne Bloomberg, we really recognized as the town as a whole that we had to be more diversified.
Right.
And it was really hard. I mean, it's nice to be a bedroom community, but we don't have a property tax in our town, as you know.
Right.
So it's really hard to sustain it without a more diversified economy, which we've been working on over the last few years.
Does that term bother you, bedroom community? It's true.
No, it really doesn't. You know, it's just a phrase. But I've, you know, had to do a lot of education with folks. A lot of people, once they move in, there's the tendency to want to lock the door behind you and throw away the key. And then, you know, over the last few years, we've been hearing we want more things. And then when you get more businesses in, now people want the roads to be quieter. And you can't really have it all.
Darned if you do.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, Sarita Mayor Tom Murphy is with us. And like I said, I've been in Sahuarita 10 years. You've been there 15. But the town is technically, on paper, 25 years old this year.
This year.
And really, it's a lot older, though.
Yes, it is. And really, the community started, you know, well, generations with the Native Americans that were here. And it really started in support of the mining community with Asarco and Freeport, which is not the name back then.
Right.
Phelps Dodge before that, and I think Anaconda before that, and others. And that's really, as you know, I spent the last 14 years on the school board. And that's been around for a very long time. And it was really, again, to support mostly the mining community. When we were incorporated in 1994, we only had 1,800 residents. And now we recently went over 30,000.
Wow.
So we grew 772% between 2000 and 2017. It's been pretty amazing.
That's got to be at or near the top in Arizona.
Yeah, I think it's second. I think Maricopa is the only one that has grew faster than we did over that same time frame.
Right, and that's a reference to the community of Maricopa. Which is, you know, south there of Maricopa County. Is that in Pinal County, I think?
You know, I don't really know for sure.
Okay, so it's Maricopa, and actually that was very fast growing, and then it kind of imploded.
Yes.
And so we were, I'm going to say, the premier community there for a little while.
Really?
You didn't want to move to Maricopa, but they've kind of got back on their feet. We have had the pleasure at the Sahuarita Sun newspaper to put out a book on the 25th anniversary, marking that of Sarita's history, and you can get that at our paper for a shameless plug there. But it's a good snapshot of past, present, and future, and there is a future, Tom. It is just you wouldn't believe it to go down there and see all the new businesses that are opening. It's nice for the residents to have, like, we've got our first freestanding Starbucks.
Yes.
You know, and then of course Sprouts came in a year ago, and then we've got some other things that are under construction. I think Chipotle and a couple of Chewy's coming down there.
Right. For there. Yeah, Dutch Brothers just opened right across the street,
right,
from Starbucks, and on June 4th Culver's is opening. So there's a lot of excitement about multiple different restaurants and other businesses that are coming into the community.
And that's great, like I said, for the residents, but it also means something for the town, because these are national companies that are showing that, hey, they believe in what you're doing. They like what you're doing. They think there's a future for them there.
Absolutely. And they tend to congregate through the National Association of Shopping Centers and things like that. Where once the word gets out on a national, and it's nice to have a mix of the mom and pops, as they call it,
sure,
and the nationals. But when the nationals, when that word gets out and they see how successful they've been, that word spreads. And then, you know, as you know, we have a few pet stores in our community. PetSmart, when they came in, you know, I get asked a lot about that. And of course, we just welcome everybody. But I think that was part of that. You had Petco and Pet Club and others in. And I'm sure they woke up one day and said, what are we missing? Why are we not down into that that growing community?
Yeah, excellent. And then now, apart from the retail, if you may call that service oriented, we're going a little more tech too.
Yes. SAMTech, Sauerried Advanced Manufacturing Technology Center. Actually, the bid is on the street right now for construction, and then we'll I think commence around the September timeframe, and then be open the first quarter of 2020, and that'll be about 35,000 square feet of high tech. Potential for businesses, not only to hopefully keep the ones that are in the community there, but also to grow outside of that. I heard a couple of guests ago on the radio about the Vail area, and one of the things that I think we both benefit by is our connection, which is Sauerita Road. Now, I do have to tease a little bit that you know when you leave the town boundary going east, because our roads go from rather nice to not as nice.
To Pima County.
Yeah. And but it is the only east-west connector right now between I-19 and I-10. And there are a couple of efforts underway. One is I-11, north-south, and the other one's east-west, the Sonoran Corridor. So that southeast-southwest connection, I think, is going to be very powerful for many years to come.
Yeah, and Zach, who was on the show before ours, was talking about Vail and what's going on out there. And it's interesting, a few years ago, Vail looked at incorporating and said no. Green Valley has looked at incorporating four times, said no. Sauerita said yes with a handful of residents. Where did they get the guts to do that, do you think? And I know neither you or I were here.
Correct, yes. And I know the previous mayor from Sauerita had gone out and actually talked to at a couple of forums of the pros and cons of being incorporated. And I know he was in favor of it as our community. So no, I reflect on that because the amount of businesses we didn't have at the time, and you really want an economic stream to be there to provide those services, where we incorporated without a lot of that, and where Vail could potentially incorporate with all of those businesses, I think they would be in a much better place, but that's for them to decide.
And it was interesting because Vail did come, and I know they talked to some people with the town of Sauerita, they talked to people in Green Valley, and they're trying to get their arms around it. I actually led a debate on this very radio program as that was heating up out there. I went to a couple of events out there. The county does not want you to incorporate, generally speaking, and it was a very interesting battle, and some people think that Green Valley might be thinking along those lines again. Tom Murphy, mayor of Sauerita, they're also talking about, gosh, maybe Sauerita should just annex all of Green Valley.
Right.
You like that idea?
Well, I'm not going to go on a limb on that particular one. Now, you know, we have annexed in La Posada,
yes.
Continuing care community.
The Jewel.
The Jewel, absolutely. And that gave us 700 residents and, you know, a great mix of home building choices. You know, for us in our community. And I always tease because our average age, I always say, is 34. We're at 72 in Green Valley. And now I have to say it's 34 and a half because we brought in La Posada to the community. Yes. But no, and they came to us, which I was very proud of.
Yes.
And said, we like what you're doing as a town, as a community, and we want to be part of that.
And they did come in, and it's been seamless, and we're going to upgrade a few things down there for them.
Yes.
And La Posada, which, you know, for three decades and just beautifully run by Lisa Israel, who recently retired.
Yes.
But has Joni Condit there, who is taking her place and doing a great job so far. I ran into a resident this morning of La Posada, and they like Joni.
Yes, absolutely. And to think of that team, their CFO, Joni, and Lisa, they've been together, I think, 30 years yes. as an organization, which you'd have to think is almost unheard of nowadays.
Yes. And so the handoff made sense. So we are talking with Tom Murphy. He is the mayor of Sahuarita, also, as he pointed out, a longtime member of the school board. And we are on the Bookmaster Show. Nope, Bill's not here. He's off in the Caribbean, probably not listening to this on his computer, but he will later on and send me some notes. So, Bill, have a great vacation. We are going to take a quick break. We'll be back on the Bookmaster Show.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year transportation plan is funded through June 2026 by a special taxing district, which is a state-established political subdivision within Pima County. The RTA plan and half-cent excise tax were voter-approved in May 2006, and the tax is collected within the district. More about RTA Citizens Advisory Committee's efforts to develop an RTA continuation plan at rtamobility.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com.
The Green Valley News and Sahuarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sahuarita Sun, it's all right here.
This is Moa Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Mo has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Mo for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Mo's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at moesgallery.com.
And welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. I'm Dan Shear, sitting in for Bill Buckmaster. I got to get back to Mona's Danish Bakery, literally and figuratively. I went by the shop at Swan and Sunrise over the weekend. They have service, ambiance, food, down to a science. Great experience, and I thank them. The owners, Steve and Sherry, do an awesome job with the European baked goods, breads, pastries, cakes, brownies. They had everything there, and you walk into the shop, and it just hits you full on in the face, and it's you don't want to leave. They are open for lunch right now. Head on over to Mona's Danish Bakery, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. We are talking to Tom Murphy. He is the mayor of my town, Sahuarita. Tom, thanks for joining us, making the drive up here.
Oh, it's my pleasure. And this is the first time I've been in the new studio.
Yes.
And I feel like I've sort of gone from a cave. It's pretty dark in there.
Because you did.
Because I did. And now I've seen the light, as they say.
I tell you, Bustos Media doing it right here and making everybody feel very welcome here. So, boy, we have got an interesting situation down south. We have, Northwest Hospital has announced that they're coming in. They did in kind of the ribbon cutting groundbreaking for the hospital that will be at Sahuarita Road and I-19, just a little bit south of there on the east side. And what's going on there, and how did you land this?
Yes. Well, and a lot of folks will come to me over time and say, you know, can you get this restaurant? You can get that business. And as you know, most of the land is owned and it's in the private hands of developers.
Sure.
And in our area, it's mostly Rancho Sahuarita and FICO, Farmers Investment Corporation. So really, they work individually with different entities. And I know they have been in conversations for many years. You know, I used to work for Rancho Cerrito many years ago, and I actually had spoken with Northwest many years ago. And I joked at the groundbreaking that I must not have been a very good salesman because it took them all these years to finally finally break ground.
But they did it.
But they did it. And yeah. I understand they'll be moving dirt in June, besides our traditional little shovels that we did at the groundbreaking. It'll be 70,000 square feet, multi-million dollars worth of investment. I think the average salary is $80,000 a year for those folks. And it kind of goes back to your earlier question that we really broke out a little bit on the retail side, and we're, you know, I think really chugging along. But between the SamTech project as well as the hospital, now we'll have actually jobs and workforce that would, I think, given the choice between working locally or driving, they would obviously choose to work locally. So we're very excited about it, and I think, because you do know there's the Santa Cruz Valley Regional Hospital south of Green Valley, and there was some concern there by some of those folks, but they really have been doing a good service for the providing those types of services to the that average age I mentioned before in the 70s, and I'm assuming that this group will be really tailoring more towards our younger, whether it be pediatrics or other services.
Yeah, so you're going to have two hospitals roughly 9 miles apart. The Green Valley Hospital, now Santa Cruz Valley Regional Hospital, opened 4 years ago. They've been struggling financially. They went in and out of bankruptcy. They're trying to make a go of it, right. And they're on, I believe, their fourth CEO. It's been rough for them, but everybody in the community wants a hospital.
Yes.
Without a doubt.
And a library, which you know that we'll be having a permanent library. We have the busiest temporary, they call it a temporary library. It's in a little modular building. And because of this, the growth of our community, the Pima County Library System decided to build a permanent library. I think that's going to be around 20,000 square feet right on Sal Rita Road. So between the SamTech, the library, the hospital, and many other things to follow, it's really exciting times to be down in that community.
Well, this is big because the Pima County had asked for this monster bond back in 2015. The library was part of it.
Correct.
I believe it was $7.5 million. That thing goes down in flames, which shocked everybody, and people are thinking, okay, no library. However, you can't deny a place like Sal Rita a library. First of all, you talk about the tiny quarters there.
Yes.
Boy, it's tiny. I've been there a couple of times, and I'm not claustrophobic, but I felt like I was on an airplane.
Right.
And it was not good. And so this is warranted and overdue. Now, you have the county coming in because it's part of the county library system, but what kind of input did you have on where it would go and what it would look like?
Right. Well, at the time, there was two or three different parcels of property that they were looking at, and they actually, the county settled on a piece of land that was on the school grounds, which I thought was really nice because you have probably, thousands of students right there on that main campus. As you know, it's contiguous. The library were right there, and I think those will be opportunities for JTED, Joint Technical Education, opportunities for library science or volunteers. So that was an agreement between the school board, the school board and the county to build it there. And then actually there'll be enough money to build a new field that it replaced a little bit further, closer to the school itself. And they have been reaching out to us and at Fiesta Sal Rita, which is our big birthday celebration in the park. They brought down a rendering and a model of what the library would look like. They took some suggestions. I think the front of it doesn't face Sal Rita Road, which is our main boulevard, and it sounded like it was a little bland on that end cap, so to speak.
Right.
So I think they took some suggestions and they're going to do some architectural fixes to that and then present it back. So they have been coordinating well with us and getting our input.
And the date has changed a couple of times, but let's say roughly end of 2020 open?
Correct, yes.
Okay, we'll see if that actually happens. Is the town of Sal Rita landlocked?
It is landlocked, yes. We have the Tohono O'odham Nation to the north. We have the mines to the west. And of course, we have Green Valley, unless we annex it all, which I say that in jest. Why with you, Dan?
Come on, break some news here. Yeah.
And but to the east on Sowerita Road, as we were mentioning earlier, is where our opportunity lies. We've been working with State Land Department for many years and under two different town managers and multiple council members. We've probably progressed the most over the last couple of years. There's a lot of state land just east of us. And that's where, you know, again, with your previous guests on the station, we're talking about the growth in Vail and our growth and the growth south of Tucson. A lot of land out in that area. The county has a lot of land around the fairgrounds, which they're looking at doing some economic development with our Sonoran Corridor, which, you know, there's a couple of options on off of I-19, one of them through our town, and three options on I-10. So depending on where that lands, and when it's funded, that continual growth is going to happen to our east. So we have a lot of interest on doing that. We do have a couple small parcels of state land in our town already. So we've been getting infrastructure to that to show them that we know how to sort of handle our growth and would be a good entity to handle that growth as we try to look at that state land going east.
So you would say then that at this point there's a very real possibility we could be going east at some point if everything aligns?
Yes, but I tend to be very an optimistic person.
Yeah.
But we're willing to work hard at that. And Bruce Wright, who is with the Tech Park before, helped us actually put a plan together on really how to not only help us with the SAMTEC, but kind of how to develop that land or land plan it for future growth. So, and as you know, farmers' investment over time, those trees, the pecan trees, will be converting to homes. So the growth is already going east. It's just a matter of if it'll be the county, us, or Tucson growing south. And of course, being the mayor of the town of Sowerita, I'd prefer to have it in our town boundaries and controlling some of that good growth.
Definitely. And when Tom says that the pecan trees at one point will be, let's say it plowed under for homes, we're not talking anytime real soon.
No, we're not.
This is could be 3-4 decades away.
Yes, absolutely.
Up to that. So, but they're going about it in a very controlled way, and they want to make sure that they do it right. And we do appreciate the Walden family for that because they've been very attentive to that.
And you can tell, obviously, the plant and others are not going away. They just built a 40,000 square foot deep freeze,
right?
You know, for that the harvesting of the pecans, but you know, things and life changes over time, and they've been really good stewards and continue to work with us.
Very good. Quail Creek is in the town of Sowerita, has a Green Valley mailing address, but it's in Sowerita. And if you were to do a direct line from that to Walmart, which is a major retail area in Sowerita, you would have to cross the river.
Yes.
Right now, though, starting at the Walmart side, there is a road built all the way to the river. And at one point, that road will go all the way to Quail Creek. They're talking about it now. Why was that road built? Why was it considered to be important?
Yes, and that goes back to the earlier question we were just talking about. The land that's on both sides of that road up to the river is state land. And that was the parcel that really was identified by the state land folks and said, you know, you have state land in there. And the key to developing any parcel is having road, sewer, and water to it. So the road opened up that potential for that state land to be developed, and we think that will send a good signal, again, that we know how to work with those properties, the raw land, because it's very hard to take raw land and put it on the auction block and, you know, have somebody come in and develop it. So thinking, us having the infrastructure to it and then the success of the crossing, which is a lot of those businesses that you mentioned earlier, it's just next to that. So whether it be more commercial or potential residential, having that available and ready, plus also having the road up to the river, I think helps us, continuing the completion of it over to Quail Creek and hopefully get some outside funding if that's available and possible, because we've already have skin in the game
right,
that we did to invest in that property.
Okay, we've been talking to Sowerita Mayor Tom Murphy. Thanks for being here.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. And happy Mother's Day a day later.
Very good.
Sounds like you took good care of your wife.
I did.
Ramona's, have to visit that as well.
It's terrific. I will be back in this seat on Friday as we gather several local and state journalists to give a tough and honest look at our profession, where we are, where we're going, and why we are excited to be in the game at this point. Bill has several of us sitting in for him during his vacation, so don't forget to check out his photos on Facebook. And of course, all his shows are archived at buckmastershow.com. On behalf of the team here, you make it a great rest of your Monday.